Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
Welcome back. We are here on a Tuesday afternoon. Some NIL conversations early on, some football conversations ahead. Your phone calls continue here at 855-242-7285. Let us continue. Cade is up next. Good afternoon, Cade.
Hello, how are you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We're doing well, thank you.
So my question is concerning about the merging of the PGA Golf Tour and LIV Golf Tour. You think the name is going to stay the same, or you think they're going to collectively as a whole like change their name?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to change the name. I think the PGA Tour will still reign because it's a valuable name. I'm not sure what they're going to do. Other than bring these guys back and avoid a lawsuit, to me that was the goal. It wasn't really to change the way the league operates, other than to include a group of players that the PGA Tour essentially ruled out of business and persona non grata.
Yeah, well, we know past the 4 o'clock meeting. Do you know when that meeting's gonna end?
I don't, but we will keep you posted. Hey, thank you very much for the call. That was the story of the day, in case you missed it. After bloviating and exhausting enough luster to last a lifetime, the PGA Tour caved in today as they made a business decision that if they continued on, this LIV Tour might put them under from a financial standpoint because of the litigation. Let's check out Dr. Tomberlin up next. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Doc, hey, what's up?
Well, I wanted to talk about Coach Bryant.
Wonderful.
And 1976, about their tenure year, I needed someone to help put the Rotary Club on the map. So I invited Coach Bryant to the Domino Tournament. And I called him, and he said, of course, I already had Mal Moore talked to him.
Now, Doc, where was this Rotary Club in Alabama?
In Andalusia.
Andalusia, okay.
Andalusia, Alabama.
I think I've been to Andalusia.
You been to Andalusia?
I have been to Andalusia. I think I spoke down there one day or night.
Okay, good. Anyway, we needed a fundraiser, and the two most popular people at that time was Coach Bryant and George Walton.
Right.
So, anyway, I called Mal and asked Mal if he would talk to Coach Bryant. And he said, well, I don't know where Coach would be interested in that, but I'll talk to him. So it wasn't long before Coach Bryant called me. And he said, Doctor, what's all this? You want me to come play in a domino tournament? I don't care where you play or not. I just want to use your name and tell everybody you're going to be here. And I said, if you don't want to play, that'll be all right. And if you could just come down and take hands there, Warren. And he said, oh, no, no, if I come, I'll play. And I said, great. And he decided to come, and he came down. We scheduled his thing, but there wasn't much going on the first week in July. And he came down, and we had the standing room crowd on it.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
So, hey, by the way, I just remembered what I was doing there. I spoke at the Lurleen Wallace Junior College.
Yeah, that's right. And so anyway, Coach Bryant came, and he filled up the whole building.
Did he really?
Yeah. So anyway, we had good country food for him, and he brought a bow with him. He and Mal flew down, and then after that, he kept coming. And I didn't know where he came back to eat my mother's cooking or where he came to help me.
Well,
with that domino cover.
I mean, by the way, Doc, the idea that in 1976 you could just call up Coach Bryant and get him to come down to a domino tournament is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I thought so, too. And anyway, he kept coming.
He must have liked dominoes.
Yeah. And after that, we got Wilb Saunderson.
Oh.
And we got, a lot of people.
Well,
after that, but.
Well, Doc, thank you for sharing that information with us. And I feel somewhat insulted. I've never been invited to the domino tournament, Randy, in Andalusia, Alabama.
That hurts.
Of course, I guess you have to play dominoes first. Jeff is up next. Hello, Jeff. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Two quick questions for you. The first, saw an article on Saturday Down South talking about the SEC's TV blue bloods from a traditional standpoint, and was curious to get your take. Beyond Alabama, who would you deem as the most valuable SEC program to TV networks?
Woo, that is a fascinating question because, you know, I mean, we're talking Texas and Oklahoma too, aren't we?
Traditional.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably put Texas in there just in terms of the brand value that the University of Texas has.
Yeah, it was mentioning Auburn, Tennessee, LSU, and Georgia from a old SEC standpoint. I was a little interested as to why they left off Florida, but I'd probably tend to agree with you, Texas moving forward. And the second quick question I had for you was, do you know if the SEC has ever considered a dynamic scheduling model, much like in the NFL, whereas you won the NFC South, you play the division winners from the other NFC divisions, whereas if somebody won the SEC West and East in a previous year, those teams would be required to play each other the next year?
I think that's a moot point now, Jeff. It's a great concept, but now that we are going to be without divisions, it would be impossible to pull that off. But I'll continue to say this, Jeff. The SEC is a big believer in traditional scheduling, meaning, and we'll know more in a week, but we like to know the neighborhood that we live in, so to speak, in terms of, okay, we are going to see that game. I don't think that's necessarily going to hold up, but I think certain games will live. And I'm not only talking about Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Texas, Alabama, Auburn. I mean, I think there are going to be some more, and I believe that next week is going to be a precursor to that. Who are on everyone's schedule. If Alabama has always played Tennessee, does that game live? There's some people that are worried about that. But is that game as important? And I know I'm not talking about last year. You have to look at it broadly. You know, what are the games on Alabama's schedule that matter today moving forward? Is Tennessee more important than LSU? I would argue it's not. What about A&M? I mean, A&M's another one that is A&M Arkansas. They have so many potential rivals now. Texas. I mean, everyone, is it A&M? Is it Oklahoma? Is it Arkansas? Texas has three or four schools that are almost automatic for them. Some schools don't have that. Some schools do not have that. We'll continue on that conversation. Stuart Mandel in a few minutes. We'll get his take from across the country. More of your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. Stuart Mandel joining us in a few minutes. We continue. Jolly is up next.
Hello, Paul.
Holly Jolly.
Yeah, I trust that you and your wife are doing well. You got a great show today.
Thank you.
Everybody's putting their 2 cents worth in on the SEC, so I'd like to put mine in. At the end, I wish you would tell me that you sort of agree or you disagree.
Okay.
I think, Paul, we're going to have a tremendous year in the Southeastern Conference this year. No undefeated teams. I think that Georgia will lose Tennessee and possibly one other game. But to Tennessee, I think Bobo Smart made the worst decision. I've never seen him make a bad decision. He's a genius. But he pulled it there because that guy never won anywhere he was at. We tried to – took us forever to get rid of him when he was at Georgia. But I think that LSU's going to win the West, Tennessee the East. Tennessee LSU plays, LSU wins, and LSU have beat Alabama, gives them one loss. I see LSU, Alabama, Ohio State, and Texas in the playoffs, and I think we're going to have a heck of a year, a lot of upsets. I think these teams with this portal has got close, a lot of the teams, maybe six teams very close. So I think this is going to be our prime year, best ever. What do you think?
Jolly, I don't agree, but I agree with you on Alabama. I think Alabama is better than we're giving them credit for.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't agree on Bobo.
Bobo ever done? He cost Rick his job, really. He every play he ever called for Georgia was bad. He run the ball, boom, boom, boom. I thought he was the worst offense, and he went to to Colorado and just run that school. They couldn't beat nobody, a high school team, when he left. Went to South Carolina, they run him off. Went to Auburn, that guy said he was the biggest idiot he ever seen, and run him off. So what else has he done?
I think he's also responsible for...
What? Can't come up with it.
I really can't. I mean, I was about to be funny here, but I don't think you're in a funny mood about Bobo. I don't want to upset you any more than you already are.
Well, Bobo's, he's a good guy and a likable person.
That's not the question.
But he's just not a winner. He's just not a winner. Do you think he compares with the offensive coordinator that we just let get off to the pros?
No, I don't.
We got rid of one of the top three offensive coordinators in college football, and we got the absolutely worst offensive coordinator that we possibly could have got, even if we went to high school. That's bad, isn't it?
Jolly, I am simply falling down on my job, because it's my job to combat this hyperbole with facts.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I think that Georgia will not get back to the we got the best players, we got everything, but you got to have an offensive coordinator. The guy that just left proved that. Now, why they let him get out of there, I'll never know.
Well, he had won two national championships, and quite frankly, I don't think he bought the argument, stick around for a third. I think he was ready to go back to the NFL. Yeah, I do. Well, I don't know that. It's not like I really know Todd Monken, but that's what I heard. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That guy was serious.
Coming in hot.
AC, and wherever AC calls from.
Thank you so much for taking my call, Mr. Flying Bomb. How you feeling?
Okay.
Absolutely. I just want to get this correct. So I guess Legend, the caller, he wants to become a chef. Am I getting this correct?
You're correct.
That's good. I'm glad he's doing something with his life. You know, matter of fact, I need to go and learn how to cook as well. That should motivate me. And Legend and I, well, he can do it separately. I don't have to team up with him. I don't want to be in prison, blah, blah. But what I'm trying to say is we can grill Jim from Tuscaloosa. He can take half of his body. I can take the other half. We can grill him up, Mr. Feinbach. What you got to say about that? Which piece of meat do you want, man? Let me know. I'll deliver it to you. Which one do you want?
I'm really not that much into cannibalism.
Sure. I mean, I'll
try most things. But I don't eat human food, normal food, well enough that I want to start going into that kind of thing.
Probably Randy, probably the background chili.
Oh, you don't like Randy. He does not like you, Randy. I can feel it. I feel the tension from Bangladesh.
Whoa. I never said I hate Randy. After I'm going to give him a piece, you know, I was sending to him. I'm going to send it to all the boys, all the cheerleaders. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure your wife is hungry. I'll give it to her too, man. This is how AC wants to appreciate. We're going to grill up Jim from Tuscaloosa. Easy peasy. What you going to say about that, Mr. Fine Bomb? I know you have your diet going on. You can just watch them, boys. Oh, yeah. You can just watch them, boys. But guess what I'm going to do for you, Mr. Fine Bomb? I'm going to send you a camel. Oh, yeah. They're going to milk it. You know what I'm saying? You got to live in a farm, homie. You know how to milk them. You got to know how to hunt. You got to know how to catch the fish. You got to know how it's done, Mr. Feinbaum. I'm going to show you how it's done. What you got to say? You and I, we can do some business, too, if you want to. I mean, I know you
maybe
have CSP lining up your wallet. I understand.
I'm not doing great, but I'm going to be okay for now.
I hope you do okay, because we want you in the set. Whenever God takes us, so be it, but we want you a little bit longer. No, we want you a little bit longer, because AC loves you. AC loves you. And I'm not going to call in and say, I love you, and I don't want to be like Jim from Tuscaloosa the very next day. I hate your show. And he's going to go on his stupid social media page and he's going to bash you. I'm not a traitor. I'm not a hypocrite, Jim. You're the biggest sore loser this station ever had. Just like any has been out there, like AJ. I'm talking about that cockroach. AJ was campaigning for the next year's caller of the bracket, whatever you are doing. He's not campaigning. He's quitting. Quitting like his grandfather, Jennifer Tuscaloosa. Holla!
Larry, what do you say?
Man, that guy's got a loose screw somewhere. I'm telling you, that man is something. We're talking about cannibalism. I was thinking about when you said that, Jeffrey Dahmer, you'd be a throwback, Paul.
Yeah, but I don't want to open my refrigerator and see Jim from Tuscaloosa in there.
I think he'd go out to them big old ears and the rest of it he'd chuck.
Hey, anybody interested in fried Jim from Tuscaloosa for dinner?
Yeah, you know that. You know. Hey, you know what you call an Ethiopian with a dog?
I'm afraid to ask.
Vegetarian, man. Damn, boy.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
Oh, man.
Get
can
on
we get,
it.
Can get, we get on AC it. Back on to start talking about my wife now that Larry's dropping third world references here?
Yeah, man. I'm like this, though. When people tell you they love you on this show, there's something wrong with them. Nobody loves you. We tolerate your ass. It's like Randy. We put up with him.
Well, that man, you made my day, Larry. Hey, thank you. We're heading to the break. Stuart Mandel from The Athletic is coming up next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
There's still football. I know a lot of hand-wringing over schedules and NIL, but in The Athletic, the headline reads, college football gets ready for Caleb Williams, Drake Mays, others. We'll talk about that with Stuart Mandel, who runs the football part of The Athletic. Stuart, thank you. Appreciate your time. Let's talk on the field for a moment, and then I do want to get your thoughts on a few things that have happened off the field. The quarterback class looks really good. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, last year, Paul, was really, in terms of quarterbacks, was really defined by those two guys who ended up going 1-2 in Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. This year's class, in terms of guys who have proven themselves at the highest level, I think is much deeper. And also the guy at the top, Caleb Williams, is already more highly regarded even than those two from this past draft in NFL circles. So when Bruce Feldman and I put together this story yesterday where we group the quarterbacks into tiers, he was on a tier of his own in tier one.
And after that, some of the names that we saw there on the headline, but I want to specifically get you to the SEC where for 2 years we knew who the best quarterback was. This year, there are a number of different candidates. How do you look at it in relation to who's at the top of this league?
Well, the SEC did lose a lot of its top quarterbacks, which, you know, trims down the roster a little bit. But a guy who I don't think gets nearly enough national respect is KJ Jefferson at Arkansas. And, you know, we had, after Caleb Williams, we had Drake May at UNC and Michael Penix at Washington in the next tier. But KJ's in the next tier after that, along with some really other good quarterbacks, along with Jaden Daniels, obviously, the star at LSU. Jaden Daniels, you know, having led his team to the SEC title game last year, I don't think anybody's sleeping on him. But, know, Arkansas wasn't that good last year, frankly, and so KJ Jefferson fell off the map a little bit, but he still threw for, you know, completed 68% of his passes, 24 TDs, 5 INTs, and ran for over 600 yards, which he's done each of the last two seasons. So I'm excited to see what he can do this year. He's got a lot of experience under his belt, new system there at Arkansas as well.
Talking to Stuart Mandel from The Athletic. Stuart, let me go back a couple of days and then we'll look ahead. Haven't had a chance to talk to you since the SEC stayed at 8. There has been a national hue and cry, mostly criticism of the league's decision. Where are you?
Yeah, I think a combination of disappointed, but also, I've just kind of thrown my hands up at this point, Paul. I feel like, I mean, every year you go, you know, do those interviews on the beach in Destin, how many years in a row have you had to ask these same questions to these coaches about 8 games or 9 games? And now they're punting it another year. You know, this is another short-term bridge solution. I understand the motivation. They want to see more money for going to 9 games instead of 8. But I just, you know, you could tell reading between the lines on Greg Sankey's comments leading up to the meetings, he himself wants them to go to 9. I think, you know, a lot of the fans, if we polled them, want to go to 9 because they want to see more games against each other and less games against some of the, you know, FCS or low-level group of 5 that those schools routinely put on their schedules in either September or, you know, that third week in November.
Certainly they had a 9-game schedule ready to go. I don't know about an 8-game schedule, but we will see it in 8 days. Stuart, how much pressure is on the SEC, or does the SEC even concern itself with such things, to come out of this thing strong, knowing that there'll be there was a lot of criticism of no 9, but when it comes to the big dogs, to have them play a pretty meaty conference schedule?
I mean, I've heard people say, and it's true, that, you know, what's the incentive to change? They've been playing 8 this whole time, and it obviously hasn't affected them at all in terms of winning national championships, putting teams in the playoff. They've had 2 teams in the playoff a few times. What I think would be the more forward-thinking, and I know Kirby Smart is this way, is that we're going to go to 12 teams here starting next year, and the more chances you get to get quality wins, the more teams the SEC is going to put into the playoff field. I know some people look at it the other way around, like you're risking more losses, but, you know, we already know the team that wins the SEC is going to the playoff. Probably the next 2 teams below them are going to the playoff, or at least 1 or 2. But once you start getting down into it's going to be just like a big, a big blob of teams, I would think, ranked between about 9th and 16th. They'll all have similar records trying to get those last couple at large spots. And the more wins over respected opponents you have, the better chance the committee is going to select your team.
And until we see what happens next week, you know, we don't know whether that 9th game would have mattered or not, because most of the top contenders, as you know, are playing respectable non-conference teams. So we'll have to wait on the in-conference games. Let me switch to what is happening middle to end of this week in Washington, D.C. Another group going to D.C. to lobby congressmen and senators. Your thoughts on that, and does it matter?
Well, does it matter? I think when Nick Saban shows up on Capitol Hill, it's going to be very impressive to a lot of people, especially, obviously, the congressmen that follow college football closely. But I haven't seen any sign that this is a big priority on Capitol Hill. It's a huge priority to the SEC and to all of college football, who the NCAA, who is frankly at this point kind of given up on trying to regulate this themselves and really want some sort of universal federal solution. There's just other things that get these politicians' attention. And so I hope they have a plan B. I've been saying this for some time, Paul. They don't seem to have a plan B, right? Plan A is get Congress to figure this out for you. What happens if that never happens? You know, are you just going to keep trying? Or at some point, will the NCAA or some other organization step in and try to enforce these rules? because that's the thing. There are rules. It's just that nobody's enforcing them, and I don't think they're really even trying at this point.
And one thing they say too, Stuart, after that is, well, there's a new president, Charlie Baker, and he's a two-time governor of Massachusetts, as if that means anything in Washington, D.C., and he's well connected. I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, but considering what Mark Emmert has done to that position, what really can he do other than, you know, shake a few hands and make a couple of good speeches?
Yeah, you know, from what I've seen of Charlie Baker so far, what I say in his for him is this. He is clearly much more knowledgeable about college sports, the actual sports that are being played, than Mark Emmert ever was. He's watching college sports. He can name specific athletes. I think Mark Emmert could only name the presidents on the board of the NCAA more so than the actual players and coaches. But to your point, it's a position that has really lost a lot of power over the last decade or so. And so I think the reason they hired somebody with his background is specifically because of what we're talking about. They need somebody who's connected in Washington. They're looking increasingly to Washington to help solve these problems, because until they do, they're going to keep getting sued. But, you know, at the end of the day, he serves the membership. Everybody, you know, always thinks that maybe he has Roger Goodell type power. He does not. It's actually the presidents of the NCAA that are of the schools that run the NCAA, and he is more, you know, kind of the face of that organization.
Stuart, before you go, you mentioned Saban, and certainly his presence in D.C. tomorrow will be significant, certainly from a media standpoint. But on the other side, you hear Tuberville, you hear Manchin, you hear the Cory Booker. Is there somebody or a group of people in that chamber on either side that really matter the most based on the reporting you've done and the people with whom you've spoken?
The names you mentioned are the ones who are the ones writing the bills, frankly, right? Chris Murphy also gets mentioned a lot. They're the ones writing the bills. And so they're the names you hear the most. What I don't have a sense of, because frankly I don't cover politics, is who are the people you're not seeing in the headlines, who are not the ones authoring the bills, who they need to get on board in terms of supporting it. Because it's one thing to write a bill and put out the press release and do the interviews. It's another to get, you know, your colleagues on both sides of the aisle to support it. There aren't many issues, as we know these days, that unite Republicans, Democrats. I don't know if making sure college athletes get paid in a regulated manner is one of those. I guess we'll find out soon. It doesn't seem to me to have one ideological bent or another, but nothing happens in Washington without one side trying to convince the other.
Well, they did come together briefly last week to save the world's economy from going under and losing everyone their 401k. So that was a little more important maybe than making sure there's a limit on what an Alabama quarterback can make. But I think you're right. Stuart, thank you as always. Great to have you on. Stuart Mandel from The Athletic. We'll take a short break. We are back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Brandon is up next in Orlando. Good afternoon, Brandon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well.
Long time listener, first time caller. Love the show. Appreciate taking my call.
Thank you.
I have two questions for you. And I know you're not the biggest Miami Hurricanes fan, but Miami Hurricanes alum and diehard fan here. Wanted to ask you one. Do you think Mario Cristobal is the guy to turn it around for them? And I preface it by saying, I know the days of the 80s, the 90s, and the early 2000s, they're gone. I'm more so saying, like, you think he can put them in a position, you know, 5 years from now to be a perennial ACC contender and, you know, maybe make the 12-team college football playoff every now and then? And question number two is, I want to get your thoughts on the ACC realignment. I know there's a lot of talk between Clemson, Florida State, Miami, and four other schools about leaving the ACC. want to get your thoughts on if there's a timeline to that, if that's something that could happen this year, next year, 5 years from now, or if you think the ACC will stay intact. Again, appreciate it, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Brandon. On question one, I do think Mario Cristobal is the coach. I'm a huge fan of his. Last year was an abject disaster. I don't think it was really his fault. Yeah, you can blame him for some of it, but I think he had to use addition by subtraction. So I think he's one of the top recruiters in the country, and I believe Miami will ultimately be a playoff contender. As far as question two in relation to the ACC, I don't think the ACC can do anything right now. They have a lot of disgruntled members, but they're all locked into the same agreement, this grant of rights. And there's, as opposed to paying more than $100 million, I don't think they can get out. And I don't think it's not like the SEC has invited anybody either. Texas was different. Texas paid a lot of money, but it was worth it to them, and they could afford it. I don't see that many schools in the ACC who can go 100 million plus to get out and then maybe not even be assured of steering clear of massive litigation. And I'm not sure the SEC wants any part of that. Why did they wait so patiently with Oklahoma and Texas for them to extricate themselves from that deal? Originally, you kept hearing, well, 25, but Oklahoma and Texas found a way out and everyone was cool about it. Thank you for the call. David is up next in South Carolina. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. I was just calling to talk about the six of the 16 teams in the SEC.
Okay.
Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, LSU, and Kentucky. Do you think any of those could possibly beat, like, Wake Forest or something?
Yes. I think Wake Forest is the number one seed, and the number one seed has been very vulnerable lately in this tournament. A couple of times the number one seed has been knocked out, including last year, as I'm sure you remember. So I think the SEC is in a tremendous – I mean, they're already guaranteed of two schools in the College World Series because there's two all-SEC matchups. Alabama probably has the longest odds, but Alabama is also extremely hot right now. And then you have Tennessee going down to Southern Miss, which is a complete job by the NCAA to deny Tennessee home field. But I'm pretty upbeat on the SEC maybe having at least half the field next week. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Rick is in Washington. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Paul. I'm from the upper of Washington, and I was just elected today to be the commissioner of the Pac-12. And what are my first I understand you are up on the business, not only the sporting events of sports, but also the business part. What are my first priorities?
Rick, the first priority is to avoid a complete and total capsize, which I think is where this league is going. You have at least four members who are looking to get out, and there's almost nothing you can say to keep them. I've been hearing television contract for the Pac-12 for over a year. Have you seen it yet?
I have not, but I understand the Pac-12 networks have always been a loser.
Well, the biggest problem with the Pac-12 network, it never got proper distribution. I happen to know more about this than I really even wanted to, but I was being the first person hired here at this network. My first year before it even launched, I spent time with the people that were out there selling cable and satellite, and the Pac-12 missed out on that. They just did not do what the Big Ten network did and what the SEC network did, and as a result, it has been unsatisfactory.
So it doesn't look good for me, Ben.
No. Do you have a resume available? Maybe you might want to make a few copies of it.
Well, thanks for the wonderful advice,
yeah.
And we'll do our best with our two biggest draws leaving, and also probably taking with them my biggest recruiting base. and oh, it'll
Rick,
be
you
fun.
Might try this. Remember the old TV show, The College Bowl? You had the smartest kids from different colleges. That might be your best TV draw to have Berkeley play Stanford, maybe the Washington schools, the Oregon. I mean, because you're going nowhere from an athletic standpoint. We'll take a short break, another hour to go. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.